ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this evening we're going to continue our discussion of Vanashram Dharma. Now, we have some guests here. Are you familiar with Krishna consciousness at all, Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, I did three times, and I saw this.
Okay. I apologize, this is not going to be an introductory class, okay? It's based on other material that we've been covering. This is a seminar, basically. Anyway, you're welcome to stay. And if you have any questions along the way, just raise your hand up and I'll try to explain so that you can follow along. Okay? Thank you. All right. And for the others, what's the first thing I always say? So, why you make me ask? Come on. Come on. So we're going to begin by reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fifth canto is the instructions of Lord Shabdev to his sons. This is chapter 4, text number 16. Yadyapi svaviditam sakala dhamam brahman guhyam Brahmanair darshita margena samadhi bir upayar janatam. Translation. Although Lord Rishabhdev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a kshatriya and followed the instructions of the brahmanas as they had related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus he ruled the people according to the system of Vanashram Dharma, which enjoins that the brahmanas instruct the kshatriyas and the kshatriyas administer the state through the vaishyas and sudras. Purport. Although Lord Rishabhdev knew all of the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. The brahmanas would give advice according to shastra, and all the other castes would follow. The word brahmana means perfect knowledge of all activities, and this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general public. The general public should follow the perfect brahmana. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. So far in our discussions, we've talked about the purpose of Vanashram, why is Vanashram needed, what is Vanashram. Tonight we're going to speak about why do we need Vanashram, who is Vanashram culture for, Vanashram, the differences between modern culture and Vanashram culture. So for our guests, Vanashram, let's say, modern society is organized for a particular purpose, and that purpose is generally sense gratification and the concentration of wealth. As we've seen just recently, maybe about a month ago, it came out that 67 of the richest people in the world own the same amount of wealth as the poorest 2 or 3.5 billion people, right? So 67 people on one hand, 3.5 billion on the other. So we should not be surprised by this, because this is actually how the economic system is designed. It's designed to create, or rather to concentrate wealth. So there shouldn't be any surprise. The Vanashram Dharma, on the other hand, also has a purpose. This is a spiritual culture which is designed to allow people to enjoy their material life, to have a decent life, to fulfill their material desires, and at the same time make spiritual progress so that at the end of their life they will achieve liberation to the spiritual world. So there's a big difference between these two cultures. And Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Charya of ISKCON, he wanted to establish the brahminical class of men, those who actually understand the purpose of life, so that they could direct society to achieving the spiritual goal of spiritual emancipation. Just as we are reading in the commentary or the purport of this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, the brahmanas or the class of men who are educated according to spiritual values should be giving guidance to the rest of society how to live their lives in the proper way so that again, both they can achieve their, they can fulfill the demands of the body, and they can achieve spiritual liberation at the end of the life. Now, in reading Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says some contradictory things about Vanashram culture. He explains in one place that Vanashram Dharma cannot be established at this time due to the deficiencies of the age of, or let's say, the disqualification of the people of the world today, and our lack of understanding of that culture. And it's true that we're not going to be able to establish the Vanashram culture as it had been established in the past. But rather, what's needed is to establish a different version of that culture. Later, in the late 70s, Prabhupada spoke more and more about Vanashram Dharma, and he was indicating that, yes, we must establish Vanashram Dharma. If we do that, then the entire world will become like Satya Yuga, a very wonderful golden age. And so he was also asking his leaders, his leading disciples, to do that, to establish Vanashram Dharma. So, now what does it mean? What kind of Vanashram Dharma should we establish? Well, we're not going to follow the same kind of rules and regulations that were followed before. We mentioned about the Dharma Shastras. Huh? There's, in the Vanashram culture, there's 21 Dharma Shastras. Okay, in other words, these are scriptures that explain what to do, all the rules and so on of living. And chief among them are the Manusamhita and the Yajnavalkya, Smriti. They, to a large degree, they concern themselves with Karmakanda, which is not what we're going to establish again. Karmakanda is a section of the Vedas which explains how to live, let's say, how to do things in such a way so that one can get good karma. The difference is that with our following of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Panchratriki Marg, and Bhagavat Marg, by following these scriptures, we're no longer going to be following the karma sections of the Vedas, but we're actually what's called the Upasana Kanda, which is the transcendental method of self-realization. So we'll have to establish a different Vanashram than was established before. the material side of things, Varna, has to be adjusted to meet the needs of modern society. In other words, I'll give you an example. In the traditional Vedic culture, Varnashram culture, Sudras were not given education. Well, if we said that today, that Sudras do not get education, this would be impossible. People will not accept this because we've been trained that everybody should get education. So, you know, many things like that that have to be changed. Lost my train of thought. Where was I? Huh? Oh, yeah. So we're not going to do it the same as it was before. In other words, we have to adapt it to what the circumstances are of modern society. So it's just like in some of my classes, you recall, I speak about the map of devotional service and understanding where we are and what the goal is, and then we follow the map accordingly. Well, it's the same thing for Varnashram culture. We have to understand what the goal is of Varnashram culture, and then we have to understand where we are on the, I guess you could say, the sociological map of modern society, what people can accept, what they won't accept, and then gradually try to lead them to be able to understand and appreciate the necessity for this Varnashram culture. From the material side, we're just speaking about Varna, and that may not be difficult, because every society requires to be organized. Again, modern society is organized by money, that in order to get things done, people with money, they hire other people. Everybody needs money to live, and so society gets organized in a very efficient manner in that way. But as we've discussed, the money economy has many downsides, one of which is it destroys destroys the connection between people, right? And the Varnashram culture is a mutually dependent culture in which I depend on you, you depend on me. But then if we bring money into the picture, I've got my money, so I don't need you. Or you've got your money, you don't need me. So these bonds are destroyed. But the result of this is we seem to think that we're independent, that I'm independently wealthy. But the fact of the matter is nobody is independent. You have the illusion of independence, but we're so dependent on everybody else. For example, you have a lot of money, but if the clerk doesn't go to the store, you can't use your money to get the things that you want. If the truck driver doesn't drive the goods and bring them to the store, your money's no good. If the electricity is not operating so the cash register doesn't work, your money's no good. Everything in modern society is dependent on something else, and if those parts are missing, then your money is just basically what it is. It's paper. So we have, in modern society, we have the illusion of wealth. We have the illusion of independence, but it's just it. It's an illusion. In the Varnashram society, however, our security is based on our mutual dependence, that I'm dependent on you, you're dependent on me, and we're there for each other. We take care of each other. And this is actual security. One of my godbrothers, Bhaktivikas Maharaj, he wrote a very wonderful little book. I think I've seen it in the bookstore, called Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. Huh? Have any of you read that? Yeah? Very nice book that everybody should read. In this book, what he does is trace out the history, Well, let's see. He interviews a number of devotees from India, what their life was like in their childhood. So these would be my godbrothers, men who were in their 60s when the book was written. So what their life was like in India in the early 1950s, and then how it had changed in the 21st century. And the book actually shows how the, even in our lifetime, that the people, they had this interdependent connection where they were taking care of each other. And he gives the example that, like in Bangladesh, that there was no concept of I or mine. It was always our. So it was not my house, it was our house. Not my country, but our country. Like this, our community, our garden. And so everybody had this sense of belonging, and that's where they got their security. So we'd like to actually establish that again so that everybody can feel secure. In this regard, we can talk about place. Everybody has to have a sense of place, or I guess in one sense this is an identity. Who I am in the world. And we define ourselves in relationship to other people. I'm the, say I belong to this family. I'm the son or daughter of these parents. I'm the brother or sister of these children. And so on like this. Or I'm the employee of such and such a company. I'm a devotee of, in ISKCON. So we define ourselves, identify ourselves with the things in relationship to the body. And this is typical in modern society. But beyond that, we also have to have a place to stay, a place that we live, which is part of our identity. So I'm the citizen of such and such a country. I live in this house, in this place. And so, you know, in modern society, sometimes people don't have that. We have more than, I think, 1.5 million homeless people in the United States right now. You have homeless people here? So a significant proportion number? No. Anyway, so place means I have to have a place for my body. Place also means I have a proper work to do. That everybody has their nature according to their guna and karma, and according to their nature, we need to do activity. Everybody wants to perform activity. And so in modern society, people find their work generally based on the what's going to give them the most money, even though that this may not be satisfying for them. So we wind up with a situation in the world today where some 80% of the people do not like the work that they're doing, because they're doing it just for the money. Why they don't quit and find another job that they like? Well, again, generally because of the money. So, but in Vedic culture, everybody gets to do the work that they like to do, which is nice. How many of you have ever had that opportunity of doing work that you love? Okay, good. That's better than most. Usually when I ask the question, I see about a third of the hands go up. I've had in my 67 years, I've had about 6 years, about 10% of the time, a little bit better than that if you count adult years, about 10% of the time in which I was doing work that I loved. And it was a wonderful experience. It really was. It was such a wonderful times of my life. Everything else, everything was going great for that. So that's another thing in terms of place. Vedic culture or the Vanashram culture, everybody has the opportunity to find out who they are and to do the work that they love. Another aspect of place means proper relationships with each other. In every culture, there's an established order of how we deal with others. Now, this is more formal in some cultures than in others. For example, in Japan, if two businessmen are going to sit down and talk about business, first they have to figure out who they are socially, and then they have a particular protocol that they go through in terms of how they're dealing with each other. Recently also, I had the opportunity to meet one of the kings of Uganda. There's 13 big kings in Uganda. We had the opportunity to host one of them at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he had one fellow there in his entourage who was simply there to establish the proper protocol, that everything should be done in the proper way. So in certain cultures, they follow these protocols very nicely. In the Western culture, this is almost like gone, practically speaking. But in Vedic culture, there's always a distinction between people in terms of varna and in terms of ashram. So, for example, when the boys who are in the Gurukula, when they go to beg, they have different ways of addressing the ladies of the household that they, where they go to beg. They address them one way, if they're from a Sudra family, or another way if they're from a Vaishya family. So their way of speaking then indicates what their position is in society, and everybody knows how to respond accordingly. So everybody this way has a place, and everybody knows how to relate to everybody else. Another aspect of Vedic culture is that simply by, generally by looking at a person's face, you can tell what their position is in society. So everybody would wear different kinds of tilak to indicate what kind of worship they are doing, who is their deity, and so on, so that others could address them in the proper way, in this way properly give respect to each other. So this will be a part of Vedic culture also, part of the Vanashram culture, that we have to establish the proper protocols, how people should deal with and address each other. This place is actually very important, because when we're in a proper place, when we're in a suitable place, then we can grow. Do you have Bhagavad Gita back there? Somebody bring her Bhagavad Gita, please. No, she needs it in Slovenia. So we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita from the third chapter. Oops. Bhagavad Gita, third chapter. Text 27 and 28, I think. No, 25 and 20. No, I'm sorry. Krishna. What's the, anybody know this? What's the sloka where Krishna's saying that one should perform their duty even if it's imperfectly performed? 334. Thank you. 35. Yes, thank you. So, we want to read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 35. Shran sva dharmo viguna para dharma svanustitat. Svadharme nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for by following another's path is dangerous. So this is an interesting comment by Krishna, that it's dangerous to follow another's path. Why? Why would that be? He says it's even better to follow your own duty, do your own duty, even if it's not perfectly done. So, Why is that? Well, because human life is meant for growing. Huh? Just like a child. Huh? You see any 3-4-year-old child, he starts to get some control over his body and he wants to do things himself, right? Whatever he sees the parents do, that's what he wants to do. He wants to use his ability to function in this, in the world. And one airport. The family I was traveling with, we'd come back from Moscow here to Slovenia, and there was some devotees on that plane. Oh no, it was from Sochi to Moscow. There's some devotees on the plane, and they had a little 5-year-old boy with them. And so the child had his own carry-on bag, or his own bag, and when he was waiting for it to come around the conveyor belt, and he wanted to get it off himself, right? But his father jumped in there and just snatched it, and the little boy got really angry because he wanted to do it, right? He wants to use his ability. So, and why? So that he can grow. So it's true for all of us. Huh? And growth takes place throughout the whole life. If we have the opportunity to perform our duty, yes, we're going to make mistakes, but that's how we learn. So we should have the freedom to be able to do that. having our own duty, our own activity according to our own nature, and being able to do it allows us to grow. So all of these things, we can take the example, I use the example of a potted plant, for example, Tulsi Devi. So she has her place, it's the pot. She has an environment, which is the soil that she's growing in. She has the right nutrition, water, air, light, and so on like this. So we're like that. We also have to have a proper environment. We have to have a place for our body. We have to have proper relationships with others. And we have to have appropriate work according to our nature. And when we have these things, then we can be secure and we can grow. So this is an important aspect of the Vanashram Dharma, is that the Vanashram culture should give everybody this opportunity so that they can grow, not just materially, but also spiritually. So Varnashram then gives everybody a chetra, or a place. And this comes from the Kshatriya. We were reading in the verse in the purport earlier about the Kshatriya, that he's guiding the citizens. So the Kshatriya, he provides the chetra. Kshatriya means king. So the king will have his kingdom, he will have a place, and he will invite people to come there and live. Not that you have to buy a house, not that you have to pay a 30-year mortgage and be a wage slave, but he gives you a place to live. No mortgage, no anxiety, no threat of being thrown out on the street. Come here and live, but you have to do your duty. No lazies and no crazies, right? So you have to do your duty. And that's one of his jobs, is to see that everybody is properly engaged. So the Kshatriya, he gives the chetra, he provides the place, the environment, the circumstances for everybody to grow. Let's talk about some of the differences between modern society and the Vanashram culture. Modern society, we're trained all to be independent, right? At least in the United States. Do you have this training here as well? Is there emphasis put on training, or let's say indoctrinating people to be strong and independent? No? Really? Yes? No?
Like rabid individualism?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what we get in the United States, right? I'm a self-made man. I'm the rugged individual. Don't have that in Europe. Really? That's interesting. I thought I would be there because this is the whole system of divine atonement. Excuse me.
In the West,
I would think it'd have been the same way everywhere. So anyway, that's the system. Like in America, everybody's trained to be SB. I'll be independent. But why? Because it's a matter of the old system of divide and conquer, right? Because if you're independent, you're not depending on anybody else. In my spiritual economics book, I was noting how this is developed generally in the West through a long process of destroying the village culture that we were talking about earlier, about this glimpses of traditional Indian life. It took them a long time to destroy that, and that was here in Europe. Huh? That was took them 300 or 400 years to actually destroy this, depending on each other. So that what do we have now? We have people who are all independent, and if they need help, they go to the state for help, and that, of course, gives the state a lot of power. People are, you know, depending on the state, what we call in the United States, we say the nanny state. The nanny is going to take care of you. So the thing is, you know, everybody, yes, we want to be independent. And of course, I mean, it's going on here to some degree because there's the whole thing about women's liberation. The women are going to be independent of men also, right? And so everybody's independent, but we don't understand what the downside of that is. Okay, I'm independent, but I'm also alone, right? I'm a self-made man, but it's me against the world. Not very good odds. On the other hand, right, what do you have on the other hand? Okay, we're together, and it's us against the world. Better odds, but then we have to tolerate each other, right? So the best example of this is the Pandavas from Bhagavad Gita, from Mahabharata, the Pandava brothers, five men, who they did everything together, and whatever the oldest one said, that's what they did, including, you know, or in, not just the in that culture. So their mother told them, there's the story how the boys would always go out together and have their adventures during the day, and they would come back and maybe they collected fruits or apples or nuts or something like that, and they would bring them back to mother, and mother would say, yes, okay, here, share them amongst yourselves, right? So one day they go out, and Arjuna got into a wedding competition to win the hand of a beautiful princess. So Arjuna won the girl, and they come back with the girl, and they say, hey, Mom, come see what we brought home. And she didn't even come look. She just said, okay, whatever you have, just share it among yourselves equally. But Mom, it's a girl. But nonetheless, because that's what Mom said, that's what they did. So, or later on, during the gambling match, when the oldest brother, Yudhisthira, was gambling away the kingdom, the younger brothers, they didn't say anything. They went along with it. So they were so tight, you could not divide them. But there's some downside to that, that sometimes you have to tolerate some things that you don't like. But that's the way it is in any kind of personal arrangement, right? Like marriage, for example. You give up your freedom for what? For emotional security, right? That's what you want. I want this person to be my partner for life. I want that emotional security, and in order to have that, I'm going to give up my freedom. Of course, this idea is falling out of favor in many places. My son, who spent a year in France, he told me it was very common there that husband and wife, he would have his lover and she would have her lover. So then what's the meaning of marriage? Huh? Yeah. Well, another point is, you know, they're together, but they don't have any emotional security at all. So in order to get something, you give up something else. So this is a point of Varnashram culture, is that you give up your independence, but you get that security, right? It's not me against the world, it's our group, our community, our kingdom, huh? And I'm part of that kingdom, and I give that up so that I can get that security. This is the idea. It requires, also from our part, it requires some commitment, right? Which is very, in very short supply today. People to make commitments, or a lifelong commitment, very difficult for people. The divorce rate is quite high everywhere, because we want to bail out of the deal when things get a little difficult. So this is one of the differences between the two cultures, between the Varnashram culture and the modern culture. Another one is, we talked about place. We talked about purpose of society. Another aspect of that in terms of giving up my freedom to have security is that I get also along with that, I get an identity. Modern society, we say, for Prabhupada, we pray, Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharanini Vishishu Shunyavari Pashitide Sitarne. That Bhaktivedanta Swami is saving us from voidism and impersonalism of modern society. So modern society is very impersonal. Because people, they don't have a place, a proper place, proper relationships with each other. And so the Varnashram culture would actually change that to a large degree. That impersonalism, because a lot of that has to do with how we would handle the economics of Varnashram. Modern world is impersonal because our economic system is impersonal, right? You don't know who made your clothes. You don't know who provided your milk. You don't know who cooked your food or anything. You just go and everything is a commodity and you're just giving some money for it and then you get what you want. But it's a very impersonal situation. However, if you were living in a village and the person who's supplying your milk doesn't bring the milk that day, oh, right away, you know, oh, my friend, maybe he has some trouble. Let me go see. Maybe he needs some help. Different things like that. We have the opportunity to be much more personal, to actually know who's providing what we need. And in this way, having a connection with other people. Then finally, one thing is that, you know, the benefits that we're speaking about Varnashram culture, they're intangible. We have more time. We have more closer relationships. We have more time with our children. These are all very nice things. These are things that actually people want, but they're intangible. You can't see them, right? Whereas the benefits of modern society are tangible. I've got a notebook. I've got a smartphone. I've got a nice car, something like that. So the benefits of modern society are tangible. The things that we don't get from modern society are the non-tangibles. We don't have time. We don't have time for each other. We don't have close relationships. We don't have a sense of place or a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose. So that all changes in the Vanashram culture also, so that we have those things which are actually, when they do surveys, ask people what are the most important things for them, that's what they say, you know. Nobody says on their deathbed, I wish I would have spent more time at work, right? They all say, I wish I would have spent more time with my children, you know, put more time into my relationships. That's what Vanashram Dharma will give us. So we have to recognize there would be a trade-off, that you give up some of the tangibles, but you get the non-tangibles.
There's a lot of bad things about modern society to give up, right? All the craziness of modern society. I happened across yesterday on the internet, somebody had posted a lot of pictures from Taiwan, all the huge skyscrapers in Taiwan. So it's just one after another. It's just like unbelievable of these maybe 50 or 100 story buildings that are just people, just flats from bottom to top. And it's just, you know, the whole scene is just filled with buildings like this. And I was looking at that and wondering, what's it like when all these buildings, everybody goes down all the way to the street, right? At 8 o'clock in the morning, it must be like insane. Everybody trying to get someplace, you know, within an hour or early in the morning. So there's got to be, you know, so much population pressure, so much air pollution, so many mental problems. So all those kinds of things are created by an artificial way of living, by being detached from the land. There was one devotee was doing some research. He found that if you live high off the ground, it actually creates mental disturbances somehow or other. And which I've thought interesting. So, right, if you're living on the 90th floor of some high rise, you know, you're very, very disconnected from the earth. So all of these crazy aspects of modern civilization, you become free from, and as well as the Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, and you get the wonderful benefits of being close to the earth, being secure, having a natural way of living, which is healthy. Okay. I think we'll stop there for discussion. Comments or questions? Here, Prabhu, Aribo.
I want to mention...
Until he puts the volume on. Try it now.
Haribo?
You have to speak up. Haribo.
Haribo.
There.
Okay. We mentioned this technology and how it's connected with the relationships between people. And I was thinking about also, like, we are preaching Zen Center, and we need to, like, we wish to give people what they need, this connection with God, with nature, with their lifestyle, what they want actually in the life. That they will be happy and more spiritually connected with God. And what I want to say that we in the society is also important that we also when with each other we need to have more not so, like, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, this is everything all right, like, for preaching, like, how to say,
connecting
people, yeah. But not for, I was thinking that it's not good as this is like sredstvo, like connection for between talking between each other or something, that it's because I see this lifetime age of Kali, and this when I was young, I was climbing on trees, I was running with children in my young age, and but I see this generation, yes, how they have this I don't know, little computers and everything, and this mentality going through generation to generation.
Yeah, so this is increasing impersonalism, right? That previously we had, if you wanted to be with somebody, you had to be with somebody, right? But then came the telephone, and you didn't actually have to be with anybody, or the television. You could be with somebody, but in an impersonal way. Now we have Facebook, which is even more impersonal. Now there's upsides to that also, in that I have one discussion group with devotees, and they're from all over the world. One's in Ireland, one's in Costa Rica, one's in Philippines, I'm over here. So, you know, that's nice, you can communicate with people, but it is more impersonal. The unfortunate part is that people no longer have the personal association, because they don't have time for it, or they can't connect with people. So we wind up with these impersonal relationships, which are not nearly as satisfying. Is that the point you were making?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right now you're watched by 8 people.
Huh?
Right now you're watched and heard by 8
people. Oh. Hi, Bo, out there. 8 people are watching. And YouTube. Not YouTube. Mayapur TV. Okay. Something else? Over here. You have to go around this way.
З усім споштуванням.
Speak up.
З усім споштуванням.
А, окей.
Чесно прав розуму ваше предавання.
I'm sorry, I can't hear if you do it simultaneous.
If I understood correctly,
in your lecture. Yes, in ваш обжалування твоєго учителя.
With great regret. I'm not following. Just tell her the whole thing first, and then she can just speak it.
In ko je bilo povedano, da je tvoj učitelj obžaloval, da ni uresničil tudi preostalih 50% svojega poslanstva.
Of his mission, yeah.
Yeah. Moje mnenje je, da je treba se vrniti nazaj k materi zemlji.
Okay, Manuji, when you speak, you have to look up and project.
My opinion is that we have to return to Mother Earth.
Yeah, that was Prabhupada's intention also.
Yeah, ki se daje in se jemlje. In ko si v stiku z zemljo, ko si z rokami z njo, ko jo ceniš, da ti daje tisto, kar po srcu njej daješ in nič ne pričakuješ, mislim, da je to rešitev vseh nas in tudi celega stvarstva.
Can't hear you.
We have to selflessly return to Mother Nature and work there.
Yeah, this is exactly what we're speaking about. How to do that.
There's
many, many what we call now intentional communities.
Obstaja več namenskih skupnosti.
And these people, they're all appreciating exactly what you're saying, that there's a need to live in a more natural way of life.
In ti ljudje pravzaprav
dejansko... You can switch microphones now. You can translate simultaneously. You're translating me now, not him. So, a lot of people appreciate that. Now the question is, how are we going to live there? Because if we try to live the modern Western lifestyle while at the same time living on the land, it's very difficult. It's because the lifestyle is suited, let's say it's designed to do something else. So our point is that the Varnashram culture is a culture that's designed for people to live on the land. But there's a lot to understand about the culture. So tonight I'm speaking about some of the differences between modern society and the Varnashram culture, so that we understand exactly what does it mean if we're simply, we go live on the land and we say, okay, is this Varnashram Dharma? Well, maybe, maybe not. Okay. We have to learn about it. And basically, we have to teach ourselves. We have the help of the scriptures. We understand in theory what it's supposed to do, how it's supposed to be designed, but we have to practically implement it. But that's, I think you're saying the same thing. Yeah? Was there a question behind, or you were making a comment?
Bi rekel, vprašanje in komentar. Sem komentiral in sem dobil tudi vaš odgovor.
Give her the microphone.
It was a comment and a question at the same time. I was commenting and got your answer.
Okay, what's the question part?
Kaj pa je bil vprašanje?
Ali je vloga recimo, ali je vloga centrov, da mogoče tudi s svojim praktičnim vključovanjem, da ima vsak center tudi nek košček zemlje, da ga obdeluje, da ljudem pokaže tudi eno drugo pot, ne, kjer je tudi v praksi izvajajo tisti, ki živijo ali pa sodelujejo s templom.
Give me the microphone.
Is it the necessary mission of preaching centers to include people from this society of Krishna consciousness to give a piece of land to each individual, to give them the opportunity to work on the land and to spread the Varnashrama mission in that
exactly
way?
How that's going to happen, we have to see. We don't have so much land that we're going to give everybody land. What we're trying to do is, by these classes, we're not even trying to institute a program for that. I'm simply giving these classes for the purpose of introducing the idea of what is this Varnashram culture. Srila Prabhupada wrote and spoke a lot about this. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, these statements about Vanashram Dharma, but we don't have a very clear idea what does Vanashram Dharma mean. So the purpose of this seminar is to explain what is Vanashram Dharma, so that we can understand, oh, okay, that's what it is, and what it is and why we should try to do that. Okay? Something else?
Še eno vprašanje se mi je pojavilo. Z stikom zemljo, po moje, imaš tudi veliko večjo možnost, da prideš v stik z Bogom v svojem bistvu. Ker mati zemlje je eno od mater, ki so zelo v vedah.
In my opinion, if we are in contact with nature, we have much greater opportunity to achieve the contact with God, because Mother Earth is considered one of the eight mothers from the Vedas.
Yeah. Do you have land?
I live from the earth.
Well, my point is, okay, you have a nice idea. If you have land, you invite us out there. We'll all come live on the earth. So, we, you know, form follows function. This is design principle. Form follows function, right? A table has a particular shape because of its function. A chair has a different shape because it has a different function. So in the same way, the culture follows the function of the culture. And if we want to know how to best live on the land, we have to understand the design principle. What is the form? In order to know the form, we have to know what is the function. So that's what we're discussing now. What is the function of this culture? Then the form can be put in place fairly easily. Once you know the principle, the design principle, or the purpose, then the form becomes almost self-evident.
Podelil bom na našo izkušnjo, kjer je bila naša želja, da dobimo več zemlje, da bomo lahko čim bolj samooskrbni.
I would like to share one experience that I have when we had a desire to acquire more land so we can be more self-sufficient.
In ker željo, če je iz srca, Bog vsako izpolnil, se nam je to tudi izpolnilo. Tako da smo dobili zemljo, za katero ni treba nič plačati, nam so jo odstopili in so veseli, da jih sploh obdelujemo.
And God is so merciful, since our heart, our desire was coming from a heart, God fulfilled this desire to us, and we didn't even have to pay anything for this land, and we got it, and we are working on it.
Yeah, it will happen, but unless, you know, if you want to avoid chaos, you have to know what you're doing. So, again, the principle first, practice comes later. So we want to establish first the principle.
Naša izkušnja je zelo pomemben dejavnik pri tebi bil spoštovanje. Spoštovanje lastnika in vsega. In ko so čutili, da spoštujemo vse to in smo skrbni temu, so vsi to spoštovanje tudi izkazali iz nasprotne strani, tako da je to po srcu deluje. To nekako čutimo mi, da to bistvenega pomena, da so tvoje nameni čisti po srcu.
The key point in our experience was that we are very respectful towards the owner of this land, and that we were pure at heart, that our intentions were pure, and that's why we got this land.
Great.
Super.
There's, you know, we need leadership like that. What we see today in general is many people, they do not want to live on the land. This is a cultural challenge. But things can change very quickly, in which they have no choice but to go to the land. So we should get ready for that time, because if we're not ready, it'll become very difficult. Okay, let her.
Hare Krishna, I want to say that our society in Slovenia have already a piece of land.
Okay, who is that?
Our society.
Oh,
we
temple.
Get in temple. We get some very nearly by some kilometers. I don't know something. Then we have Kosese. It's
okay. How much land?
Yes.
Huh?
150 square meters.
Square meters?
Yes.
Oh, so this is one, like, sortka. 1.5 sortkas. Huh? You have sortka here? This is a Russian word. No? Okay, anyway, it's big enough to have a nice garden, so that's a place to start. Okay. All right, we should end there. We can continue discussion privately if you want to talk afterwards. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.